This week, our journey through the Bible. We've come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to verse 10, where Paul, speaking as an apostle, said, "For we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You're honorable, but we are despised. Even unto the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, are naked and buffeted, have no certain dwelling place. We labor, working with our own hands, being revived, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made the filth of the world and are the offscouring of the things of all things unto this day. We are fools for Christ's sake." People, for various reasons, often make fools of themselves. Have you ever watched a person who was inebriated make a fool of themselves? They thought they were so clever. They thought that everybody was laughing with them, but in reality, they were laughing at them. If told the next day the things that they did the night before, they would be totally embarrassed that they could have done such a thing. They would never think of doing those things if they were sober. The god of drunkenness was Bacchus. Those who make a fool of themselves while drunk are fools for Bacchus' sake. People often do very foolish things for money. They will take risk. They will hazard their lives. I think of Evel Knievel. The foolish things that he would do for money. Many people have lost their lives doing foolhardy things for money. The god of money was Mammon. It is interesting, there are people who are willing to be fools for Mammon's sake. I think of the foolish things that people often do for a thrill, for pleasure. Now, I've never been really enticed to do bungee jumping. Though I can imagine that it would be quite a rush, quite a thrill, plunging head first towards the ground. And many people pay to get this thrill. Many have lost their lives bungee jumping. In fact, just this past week, in preparation for the halftime show of the Super Bowl, there was a life that was lost in a bungee jumping experience as they were practicing for the halftime entertainment. People often ingest drugs in order to get a thrill, endangering again their lives for the rush that they get when that drug hits their brain. The god of pleasure was Molech. It is interesting that people are willing to be fools for Molech's sake. No one seems to pay much attention to the person that is risking their life doing these things. Some would even admire their courage and their daring. But let someone talk about being a fool for Christ's sake, and you hear all kinds of ridicule and all kinds of scorn. Why would they want to do that? And people look upon them with sort of a scornful attitude. Paul said that we apostles are fools for Christ's sake. Fools because, Paul said in verse 9, it seems that we are appointed unto death. Because we are willing to give our lives for Jesus Christ, we're willing to be crucified, burned at the stake, beheaded, whatever, in order that we might witness to others of the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. People look upon us as fools, appointed unto death. It is true that the early apostles were put to death for the cause of Christ. Paul himself was beheaded for Christ's sake. And through the centuries, millions have followed the example of the early apostles and have lived and witnessed for Jesus Christ, even though it cost them their lives. During the attempt of the Roman government to stamp out Christianity, that great period of persecution, people would often be told that if they would just say Caesar is Lord, they could escape death. But refusing, they gave their lives, and people said, look at those fools. Fools for Christ. Today, in Muslim countries, the Christians are being persecuted severely. Missionaries are being put to death in Iran and persecuted in other areas. In China, Christians suffer imprisonment and the confiscation of their goods for the sake of Jesus Christ. The world looks on them and calls them fools. Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake. They consider it foolish to give up everything for Jesus Christ. They consider it foolish to give your life for Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, everyone that has forsaken houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Jesus knew that following him would bring animosity from the world that is governed by Satan. Jesus said, if you were of the world would receive you. They would love you because they love their own. But because you're not of the world, they're going to hate you. They're going to bring you into prison. They're going to put you to death. Now, why is it that you can follow other religious systems and people don't seem to be so upset? If you say, well, I'm a Buddhist. If you say, well, I'm a Shintoist, or I'm a Muslim. It doesn't seem to rile people. It doesn't seem to make them want to say something mean or cutting. But to say, I'm a Christian, immediately it seems that people are offended. Why is that? Because Satan isn't worried about a person being religious. He knows well, as with Marx, that religion is the opiate of the world. But he is very concerned when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, because he knows that you're going to be opposed to him. It's interesting that in our public schools we can talk about and teach all about Buddha and Buddhism. We can talk about Confucius and all of the things that he taught. We can talk about Muhammad and the Muslim faith. But if a Christian teacher dares to talk about Jesus Christ and about the influence that Christianity has had upon the formation of our nation and our Western civilization, then the ACLU is marching to the courts with their little briefs, filing a suit against you and against the school and all for allowing such a breach of what they call separation of church and state. Why is it that in Israel, you can become a citizen of Israel if you're a Muslim? You can become a citizen of Israel if you're an atheist. But they will not allow you citizenship if you're a Christian. You will be denied citizenship. Now, why is it that Christianity is discriminated against by the world, where other religions are tolerated? Why is it that a person consecrated and dedicated to Jesus Christ becomes such a threat to the world, they want to silence their witness and will even put them to death? As we said, Satan isn't at all worried about you being religious and zealous for your religion. He only worries about Jesus Christ and those that are willing to be fools for Christ's sake. You see, Satan is the god of this world, and he controls the world system today. And he is an arch enemy of Jesus Christ. I think of Jim Elliot, who received such academic honors while in college here in the States. Also, he won the national AAU championship in his weight division in wrestling. When writing home concerning winning the championship, he said, "You'll probably hear that I received honors in my wrestling." He said, "I want you to know it wasn't for the honors that I was wrestling. I took up wrestling because I wanted to develop a stronger, well-coordinated body that I might present to Jesus Christ for him to use as he pleased." When he graduated from university, he was offered a professorship in philosophy at a university in Washington, but he turned it down because his heart was in missions. And he went to South America as a missionary. There he met Nate Saint and a couple of other fellows. And they began to talk about the Auca Indians, who were one of the most savage, primitive Indian tribes in the world. They had no contact with the outside world. The outside world was fearful of contact with them because they would kill anybody who came into their territory. But these Auca Indians were dying in pagan darkness without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And these four fellows devised upon a plan to take them the gospel message. They were challenged to take them the gospel. And so they started learning Auca phrases. And then they started dropping various materials to the Auca Indians on the banks of the Aranca River. And they would fly over and they would call out these Auca phrases of friendship, kindness, and they would drop the goods to them. Gradually getting familiar with them and the natives becoming familiar with the plane that was flying over. They finally landed there on the banks of the Aranca River and made initial contacts with the Aucas. But then the Indians came and they were all killed. As they were planning this expedition, Jim was writing to friends in the States, telling them of his burning desire to reach the Auca Indians. His friend wrote to him and said, "Jim, you could lose your life trying to reach those savages. Jim, you're a fool." He wrote his friend and he said, "I realize that I might lose my life, but no man is a fool to give up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose." Jim lost his life trying to reach them. It is interesting that later on his wife and little girl went in and lived with the Auca Indians, along with Rachel Saint, the sister of Nate Saint, the pilot who also lost his life. And the very men who had killed Elizabeth's husband and Rachel's brother came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "We've been made a spectacle to the world and to the angels and to men." The world mastered by Satan hated Paul. He talks about how he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was stoned. Ultimately, he was beheaded for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the world would say he was a fool. But no man is a fool who gives up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. Paul, looking at the suffering, said, "They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." A spectacle unto the angels. Now, I am a believer in angels. I believe that, as the scripture said, God has given them charge over us to keep us in all of our ways, to watch over us. As Hebrews said, that they are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. As Peter said, they are curious about God's work in our lives, and they desire to look into the things of the gospel. And I believe that when we take ventures in faith, when we're willing to step out and put, as it were, our necks in the noose for the cause of Jesus Christ, when we're willing to be daring, I think that the angels are cheering us on. You know, I love to be around fellows that are ready to do anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow I have the opportunity of meeting with the young fellows that were with us here at the beginning who are now pastoring major churches around the United States. We're going to spend a couple of days together, and I look forward to it because these guys are exciting to be around. These guys will do anything, go anywhere for the cause of Christ. I mean, these guys are daredevils. Skip Isaac will be there. Skip got into Iraq recently to share the gospel. And these guys will go anywhere. They'll do anything. And they're just a thrill to be around because you can say, let's try this. And they'll say, yeah, you know, and they're ready to go. They'll head out anywhere. They're willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. Paul said we're a spectacle to men. Sometimes even our own families do not understand us. They cannot understand our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They can't understand the sacrifices that we are willing to make for the cause of Christ. They call us fools. It's interesting that if you give your life for the service of your country, you're called a hero. If you give your life for the service of Jesus Christ, you're called a fool. If loving Jesus with all of my heart makes me a fool, then I am a fool. If desiring to serve Jesus with everything I have makes me a fool, then I'm a fool. If trusting Jesus for everything makes me a fool, then I'm a fool. But I'm not ashamed of being a fool for Christ's sake. When I was a teenager, there was a man who inspired me greatly to become a fool for Christ. In fact, he used to say, everybody is somebody's fool. You might as well be a fool for Christ. I look at how people are wasting their lives in foolish endeavors. Why not become a fool for Christ? And he was always saying, why don't you be a fool for Christ? Though he went to be with the Lord a few years back, his words and challenge still ring in my ears. Live recklessly for Jesus. Be willing to do daring things for him. If necessary, be a fool for Christ. If you never do anything for Jesus Christ, if you never witness, if you never give sacrificially, if you never speak out against sin, the world will accept you. They might even admire you. When Paul said, we are fools for Christ, but you are wise, he was saying, we are hazarding our lives for the gospel, but you are playing it cool. You have the type of Christianity that seeks to adapt to the world, but doesn't seek to convert the world. To live comfortably with the world. In fact, it's quite possible that your neighbors don't even know you're a Christian. It's quite possible that those people that you work with aren't aware that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. They may look at you as just a good, honest person, one they can respect. Paul said, "We are weak, but you are strong." He said, "You are honorable, but we are despised." That is, the attitude that the world has about us because of our full commitment to Jesus Christ, we're despised. Paul then lists the things that he endured for the cause of Christ. To the present hour, he said, we hunger and thirst. We've been naked. We've been buffeted. We have no certain dwelling place. I don't have any home to go home to. And we labor working with our own hands in order that they might take the gospel without charge to a world that is in darkness and dying without hope. But he speaks of the attitude of the world towards him. Being reviled, he said, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. But we are made the filth and the offscouring of the world. That's the way they look at us. They revile us, they persecute us, they defame us. They consider us as filth and offscouring. And then having said all of that, he has the audacity to say, be followers of me. Come on, Paul, are you kidding? I don't want that. I don't want the world to have that kind of an attitude towards me. And so we seek to compromise. What have you given up for Christ lately? What sacrifices have you made for the kingdom of God? What persecutions have you endured for your faith? Last week we were talking about carnal Christianity in the third chapter. Paul said they were babes in Christ. And I often think of what a baby I am. Because really, I haven't given up much. I haven't experienced much persecution. In fact, I have found that I really can't give up much for Christ because he gives me so much in return. The more I try to give, I find the more he gives back to me. And I am so blessed. We are blessed. But oh, God help me. When I was a teenager, I took the challenge to be a fool for Christ. I pray that I haven't become too soft, too comfortable, that I'm still not willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. Live my life recklessly for him. Dare to step out and trust God for great exploits. We are fools, Paul said, for Christ's sake. You're a fool for someone's sake. Might as well be for Christ's sake. Father, we ask that you would speak to us today about soft Christianity. About being a part of the silent majority. And may we not be silent, but may we dare to speak out. May we not be soft, but Lord, may we endure hardness as a good soldier. Help us, Lord, to rise to the challenge of these days in which we live, in a world that is quickly going down the tubes. Help us, Lord, to stand against the tide of evil and to dare to speak out for Christ's sake, even at the cost of being considered a fool for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The words of Jim Elliot ring so true in my heart. No man is a fool to give up that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. You can't rationally argue against that. It's true. You're no fool to give up that which you cannot keep in order to gain that which you cannot lose. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and dare to step out for the Lord. Do something for him this week, even if it gets you in trouble. Be a fool for Christ's sake. May the Lord bless and guide you as you serve him recklessly.